for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. Today at the cafe, I'm excited to have Ron Huber, CEO of Achieve Internet, on our show to discuss the ups and downs of growing a business. Ron, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Angelo.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited. You're in such a unique niche, and I've never really talked about this on the show, and so I'm excited to kind of explore this avenue of APIs, and we'll come back to that in a second. But before we get going, why don't you tell the audience about you and about Achieve Internet?
Okay, so I'm Ron Huber, San Diego, California. I started Achieve Internet in 2002. We started as a web development company and grew from one technology to another. And back in about 2000, I guess it was 15, 16, we caught on with a group called Apigee, and Apigee then was quickly purchased by Google, and we have been doing professional services through API management for the Google GCP group for, ever since 2015.
All right, fantastic. I do have some standard questions, but I have to ask this first one for the audience for clarification. What is an API?
An API is basically the way that computers talk to each other, right? It's about how our data gets transferred. And we use APIs every day. With every web application or mobile app that we use is really an accumulation of different pieces of data. In the old days, it was all just one monolithic system that you had to go to. Today, most systems are an accumulation of 10 to almost 100 different sets of data that they pull from. If you think of, you know, the Weather Channel or even your driving app, those are all data, all websites and mobile apps that use tons of data, and they pull from a number of different locations.
Okay, so they're going out to somebody else's data and pulling that into their app.
Well, it might even be from, you know, internally they have, you know, eight different data locations that have a piece of that data, and they're pulling from that. But in many cases, and where we really come in, is when somebody is pulling from a third party. So if you're looking for information on your travel app, you might Marriott might pull from, you know, the Weather Channel. They may pull from Google Maps. They might pull from, you know, several different internal data pieces they have as well.
Okay. So when I'm looking for the local Starbucks for my Venti Soy Latte, it's probably accessing Google.
It is absolutely accessing Google. Starbucks runs on the Apigee platform, and it does require a number of different data sets to get you your latte. That is hundreds of millions of transactions a month go through the Starbucks and Google application.
All right. Well, very cool. Very cool. So a couple standard questions I ask all my guests. So when you think about growing your business, growing Achieve, what keeps you up at night?
You know, I think that where we're at in today, we're in the digital transformation arena, and that's really the cutting edge of technology today. Everybody is moving from their internal data sources, moving it out to the cloud. That takes a lot of different shapes and number of different companies. Some of it, companies own all of their data, and it might be in the AWS cloud or the Google cloud. Other times, their data is still internal, and they're looking to move that. So what keeps me up at night is the fact that technology is not slowing down, and trying to keep up with technology and still be able to be an expert in the field that we're in and deliver value to our clients, you know, keeping up with that race is what keeps me up at night.
Yeah, you mentioned a term, digital transformation, and I read a lot about that, and a lot of companies are talking about that. That's a pretty broad concept when you think about digital transformation and moving towards that kind of digital strategy that you just talked about. Are you on that broad sense of digital transformation, or really about accelerating that digital business growth, if you will?
it breaks my heart when I was watching a commercial and it was Dell or Verizon or somebody said they're the digital transformation company of the future. And I'm like, oh, that is so far from where we're at. And it's not that it's not true, because everybody is turning to their media platforms and et cetera. But what we do is, we're helping companies interact with other companies, right? So we are at the guts of it. We're not necessarily where Verizon is or where AT&T believes they are, but we're at the ground level and really helping companies take advantage and leverage the cloud. And that's, you know, I guess it's just the nuts and bolts of what is happening in digital transformation.
Okay. I think I've read somewhere, I don't know if it was on your website or somewhere, I think you used the term enablement. I mean, that's what you really just described, as enabling this kind of transformation to happen between businesses.
When you're talking about exposing your data to other third parties, you know, they often call it, what we do is we help them and we put together a website called the Dev Portal. And the Dev Portal's whole intention is to attract developers to come interact with their data through an API. And so that's a great idea, but developers have a need. They're problem solvers. They want to go out and they have a data set that they want to get. They want to come in and figure out how, whether your company has that, offers it, whether they can afford it, whether they can qualify for it, all those great things. So enabling a company to expose their APIs, expose their data, so that another company can have their developers or their business product people go and find that, is really what we do and where we come in and add value to our clients. We help build that engagement center and help the enablement of the companies in adopting this data.
Okay. Now, you mentioned how the data might be accessed and by who. So really, an organization might be dealing with their internal customers, their external customers and partners. And do you find that more and more organizations, we talk about, you know, digital business, are monetizing their APIs?
That's a great question. Almost everybody we talk to has a future plan of monetization. They know that their data is valuable. They know they want to do it. But the first step is actually making sure your own company can access that data. Because if you think about it, if you're a large company like Anthem or Allstate or any of these big organizations, you have several developers internally throughout your organization. It might be in 20 different states, and they all each have their own task, and to think that a big enterprise just talks to each other and everybody's, you know, friendly is really unrealistic. So getting that data just to your own internal groups so that they can access it, you can get permission and lower the time. One of our big insurance company clients figured that they would save $5 million a year by just the administrative costs of getting their own developers data to the information that they need. That's a huge amount of time saving. And that's something that, you know, organizations, it's not only the administrative cost of that $5 million, but it's the speed to market that nobody is really able to put a number on. So yes, monetization is some companies are doing it, but I would say the majority are still, you know, focused on that first step internal, and then the next, getting their partners access, the people they've been doing business with for 20, 30 years, getting them access to this data.
Okay. Now, you mentioned speed to market. I mean, just like any development, a new product and things like that. I mean, obviously, you don't want to be spending a year developing this. I mean, it's about how quickly you can get it, help them get it to market. So speed to market, I would imagine, is a good strategic advantage for a company like yours in helping organizations do that.
Well, I think speed to market, and we're back to enablement on that side, right, is that, you know, how do we help them enable their partners and their internal markets to go out? Because what everybody wants them to do is have these real brilliant developers go out and build apps, right? And most of the companies we deal with are established enterprises. You know, they're the companies that all of the brands you've known. But when you're talking about digital natives, folks that started their companies like the Uber, Ubers and the WeWorks, they started their companies as a digital company. Those folks are just begging for this data. So helping them understand what data you have available, why it's more valuable than maybe your competition, and then how they get access to it is all part of the enablement and all part of increasing engagement to improve the digital digital engagement.
Okay. Now, you mentioned you work with some pretty well-known companies. Are those any that you can talk about? Can you mention?
Well, most of them, surprisingly or not, you know, when you're a big enterprise company, a big insurance company, they don't really like us going out talking about their names because they don't want to do endorsements. But every company that I've mentioned today, I have some sort of relationship with in one way or another.
Okay. All right. What... give me a story. Give me an example of a really interesting project that you worked on in implementing the dev portal and the APIs that, and again, I know you can't use the names per se, but maybe an industry. Give me something that's really sexy.
We work with a company that does a lot of work in the sound industry. So what their power is, if you go to a movie, you will see this company, and they control all of the sound for the movie industry, or at least they're very involved in the movie industry, and so they're good at digitizing sound. And one of their goals in life was to come along and they know that corporations do big presentations, whether company presentations or they might be sales presentations, and what they want to do is have a company come in and upload the video or the sound for one of their videos and their video, and then they're going to redigitize it and up the quality of that sound so they're able to send it back, and when you're going to give a presentation in front of 100, 200 people, you'll have movie quality sound to your presentation.
Hmm. So you've been 2002. You've been growing Achieve Internet, and so we're just heading into a new decade. So if we look in the rearview mirror a little bit, what are some things you would have done differently or would do differently, knowing what you know today? And then, you know, what do you see the challenges and the opportunities and the changes really facing your organization and the industry in general as we move into the new decade?
Yeah, so Achieve has always been successful with partnerships. You know, we have a great partnership with the Google GCP and Apigee folks. We've over the years had other partners that were very helpful in our growth. Looking back, I think I would spend more time on those partnerships, the more time finding the right company. But every partner wants you to bring something to the table. And, you know, in most cases, I would say 90% of the technology companies out there that claim they have partners, what they're really doing is looking for lead generation.
Mm-hmm.
So spending your time working and trying to figure out who the good partners are and who isn't is a full-time job. And if I look back and say, okay, if there's one thing that I wish I would have done more, is I would have spent more time getting through that 90%. Because when you do find a good partner, like we have in the Apigee folks in Google, it's unbelievable the good amount of business you can do, the quality, the morale that we have here at Achieve is just at a high all the time, because we're working with cutting edge technology for a cutting edge company that's really doing it right. And if there's something that I'm looking for in the future to do, it would be contributing more to that partnership and being able to go out and help them find more customers and get that sales team that they're relying on us to do and help them go out and get this digital engagement to the world.
Okay. Do you think that this partnership sounds like pretty significant, and I think you started off talking about website development and things like that, and it's really these partnerships that change the focus of Achieve.
Yeah, so technology is ever-changing. It's something that you can never know enough. But when you're hiring and working with developers, they really shine when they are considered experts. They're really having a a developer or a technologist that's a jack of all trades. That's nice. You know, every company needs those people. But really what they're looking for from a services company like ours is experts in our field. So finding that arena where you can invest in the technology and really dig in and become experts, that's a scary proposition and one that doesn't always pay off correctly. So it's very hard to find the right partner to know where you're going to invest your money and time to make sure it pays off in the future.
Okay. You know, so many times I've dealt with, I'll say software companies, custom software, and a lot of these organizations look, because they're providing really services, and is how do you productize? Can you productize some of the services that you offer? So, you know, it's much more from a product standpoint as a way to market and sell. So have you done this, and are you looking at productizing some of your services? And do you think that's a good strategy for my listeners that might be considering that they're a SaaS company or something about productizing theirs?
Yeah, so I remember probably the first 2 months of 2002 when we started this company. The goal from day one was to productize our offering. It was without a doubt the number one thing we were getting into business for. If we could productize and reuse our code or reuse our techniques, we would be all set. It took me until 2018 to actually get a product that had some legs, right? It's not easy, especially on the services side. We're very unsuccessful when we were a web developer, because everybody wants a little bit different, even though ultimately you could say, okay, one website or the other, it just never works out that way. But in the API world, we were able to get our offerings. We were able to build a portal that allowed us to have our version of a minimal viable product, something that got people to a certain level so that we could then have the conversation about where they want to go. So we were able to productize that, and then following, we were also then able to productize our services offerings, and that may go from, you know, hosting and support. It goes to consulting. We offer, one of our things we offer is 20 hours a week to our larger enterprise companies that are looking for help within their organization and their center of excellence is to propagate the API first mentality and get out and roll out the Apigee platform among the different departments. So we were able to productize some of those offerings that really helps when you're dealing with procurement agents. Procurement agents want products. They want to know exactly what all the ins and outs are, and they're going to plug holes in it until you give them an answer that they're used to hearing. So when you give them, oh, well, we're just going to do 200 hours towards consulting, that's the worst thing they ever want to hear right there. Okay. It's fine if you're Accenture, but it's just not fine if you're Achieve Internet. So saying we're going to do 20 hours a week and we're going to deliver these five things each week, that is what they want to hear.
Well, that really gets into reinforcing about the different personas and people that you're talking to, right? If you're talking to the purchasing agents, they're more concerned about price and what am I paying for. When you're going up the ladder to management and senior management, they're really more concerned about the business issues, which really kind of drives different conversations as far as how you would message. So do you find that to be true in the markets that you serve, that you've got multiple messages based on the personas?
Oh, absolutely. I think that if you're talking to an IT manager, he just wants a bucket of hours so that they can, because they know they have a big task in front of them. If you're talking to a director of IT, they want a solution so that you can help guide their team so someday they can take over the work you're doing. You're talking to a CIO, they want to know that you're going to help transfer their whole business and that they don't don't have to worry about it, and they're looking for a big number. So there's different levels, and then you get to procurement, and procurement is there to make sure that there isn't any open-endedness, and that when it comes down to paying, everybody can look at an invoice, go through, get the deliverables, and make the right payment. So you really have, in many cases, four different clients within one scope of work.
One scope of work, yeah. I want to reinforce that to my listeners that I've talked about this on and on and on, and I love hearing it from someone who's in the trenches and the CEO of a company. I mean, this is true. You have to really structure your messages to the right audience to make sure that you're resonating with what's important to them and not important. I want to deviate and go back. Actually, I skipped a couple questions that I normally ask, and so I want to go back to one of them, and that's, what is the best business advice you've ever given and or received?
It's tough. I've been thinking about that ever since we started talking about this. I think I don't know if it was necessarily advice, but we went out to look for funding in the very beginning, and somebody at the Tech Coast Angels here in San Diego said to us, what's your product? Where's the reoccurring revenue? And we didn't have any. And they said, that's all we care about. We don't look at any company that doesn't have reoccurring revenue and a product. And like I said, it took us several years to get there. But that when I think about what I'm doing and where I'm headed in trying to move the company, it's towards that productization that drives me.
Okay, that's repeatable. I see that all the time. I had a research company years ago and the action sports industry, and I was able to take all that data that I produced and productized it. So, you know, people go on, they could, in my situation, swipe a credit card and download it. And, you know, that was wonderful and didn't involve me on a day-to-day basis to make that happen.
I don't even mean that that it needs to be something that it happens when you're not there, but you got to figure out how to productize your services so they're easy to be digested. Okay. And then passed on. That's what the lesson we've learned over here.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. This has been a great conversation, a lot of great insights for my listeners. So, Ron, I mean, you've had several companies. I don't want to call you a serial entrepreneur, but maybe you'll call yourself that. You think about your growth and your challenges and things that you've learned. If you could say one or two suggestions or tips or guidelines to my listeners about how they should think about growing their business and potentially the things that they're going to be facing in the next decade.
Yeah, so I think that, when I first started, that, you know, I am driven by being an entrepreneur. I look at myself as an entrepreneur. And one of the realities that I came to a few years ago was is I needed to be a CEO. I needed to run my company, not just hope that I was going to hire somebody and that they were going to take it and run with it, and I was going to be able to go to the next thing. I had to get very good at what I do before I was able to have it so it was self-sustaining so I could move on. And I think that took me longer in my career than I would have liked to admit to get to that realization that focus on what you're doing, do it right, do it well, gain your reputation, and then you can move on to the next thing. And until you really deliver a quality product, you're going to suffer from, you know, what's going on behind the scenes.
Okay. Well, fantastic. This has been a great conversation. Ron, how can our listeners get a hold of you, your website, email, LinkedIn, all that good information?
Yeah, I'm, you know, AchieveInternet.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm rhuber@AchieveInternet.com. If anybody wants to reach out and talk to me, I'm always happy to.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And thank you for joining us at the cafe today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, or view my show videos, or receive future information at theponzigroup.com, or connect with me on LinkedIn. That is the best way to get a hold of me. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO, but you're not quite ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd welcome the opportunity to explore the benefits of using a fractional CMO. And lastly, please subscribe to this show. And if you're already a subscriber, I encourage you to let others know about the show so they can benefit from this great content like we had today. You can also go to the Business Growth Cafe to sign up, or subscribe on any major podcast platform. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.